come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you want to worship. Come. Just as you want before.
Share a couple of thoughts with you. Our Oaxaca, Mexico mission partnership is beginning to really develop. And if you're interested in being a part of that, we'll be going back in August. The interesting thing about the partnership between our church and them is the children. They have Compassion International supporting the children there on Saturdays with food. And so they call it Compassion. The church does. And so I want to encourage you, whether you're part of our Oaxaca team that's going to travel, we're going to be there. We're going to help them with Compassion Saturday. We're going to help them with Vacation Bible School and there for them. We're going to do the recreation because we can't speak the language too well. So I hope that you'll be a part of that. Be praying about the children there in Oaxaca and the children around the world, and consider one of the children here to be one that you do. That you will support along the way. Pray with me this morning. How awesome you are, Father. How good you are to us. How blessed we are. And yet we're not worthy, and we know it. So we bow in your presence to give thanks, to praise your name, and to worship you this morning. And as we do, we lift up these families who have lost their loved ones for now. Because we know that in eternity we'll be reunited. Those of us who know you and love you and are followers and believers in Christ. So I pray for their heart and their spirit and their soul and for this time in their lives. Pray for the children. Children here that we pick up and bring and encourage and bless. For our youth that are so special to us, and for the search for a leader there, and for your intervention in our lives in just that area. For all that you're doing in our life, we pray for the children there in Oaxaca and their church and all that will be a part, especially this August when we travel, a number of us there, to be a part of teaching and leading and just building relationships. So thank you for your spirit in this room, Lord, and we ask your blessings now on what we do in Christ's name. Amen. Now for our guest, we're just working our way through the book of Luke in the New Testament. I invite you, if you will, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to just do these three verses. Let me begin by stating that we're talking about calming our fears. This is a very familiar story that you know both here in the book of Luke. It's repeated in the book of Mark. In Mark, it has the language that we most commonly use, and I'll point that out to you. But someone named Elizabeth Ross, I don't know what her role is, if she's a psychologist, a teacher, whatever, but she said, when you boil it all down, there's only two emotions in life. Everything else kind of spins around these two feelings, these two emotions. One is love, and the other is fear. Everything that's positive, all that's good, comes from the spirit of love. Everything that's negative and evil and so forth comes from an emotion or a fear of evil. And so she says, from love flows happiness and contentment, peace and joy. Fear comes anger, hate, anxiety, and guilt. So we're going to talk about our fears today. What's your greatest fear? What is it that you are most afraid of? Look at this quote. People will risk their lives serving in combat, fighting fires, and performing dangerous stunts. And you could just make a whole more long list of things that people will do at certain times in their lives. But that doesn't mean we're not fearless. There's all kinds and types of fear. Let me list a few. There's the fear of being rejected. No one wants to be negatively evaluated well, he doesn't live up to my standards. Nobody wants to feel that way. No one wants to be talked down to. And so we have a legitimate fear from time to time of being rejected. How about irrelevance? Everybody wants to know that their life means something, it's worth something, it has value, and that it's, and that we're here for the right reason, and we are. In Christ, we know what our value is. How about disappointments? That's that deep internal remorse from a loss or something that fails or something that happens. And even it goes further because we sometimes blame ourselves for those disappointments. And that leads to the fourth one, failure. Nobody wants to be defined by our failures. But I think that Edison was one of those who said, I didn't fail 400 times. I just found 400 things that didn't work. And then he discovered the light bulb. You know, we don't want to be defined by our failures. We don't want to be defined by our weakness. No one wants to be perceived as weak, and especially in the society that we live in. And the last one I put on the list, there could be a lot more, is looking foolish. We hate being embarrassed, making mistakes. We want others to think that we've got our act together, don't we? I want to believe that one day I'm going to beat Walt Wright at golf. But I look foolish out there playing him all the time. Don't you say a word. Jesus said, John wrote in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Greater love hath no man than this, but he laid down his life for his friend. We're to love one another. So, if you have your Bible, it's just a very few verses of scripture, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is a watershed moment, no pun intended, because they're in a boat out on the lake. This is a pivotal moment in the lives of these disciples. Things are about to change again. So it said one day, we don't know what day. We don't know how long these disciples had been following Jesus. What we know is some of the accounts that we've read about. Jesus turned the water to wine at the wedding. He's done things like healing the sick and raising the dead. He's preached to multitudes of people. The message is beginning to get out. People are listening. People are starting to follow him. Okay. You know, this is a party. That's kind of the mentality up to this moment, this watershed moment. So one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Now I could preach right there about evangelism all day long, but I'm not necessarily sure that's exactly what this is all about. I think there's another real main point that I'll point out to you. But he says, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side of the lake. And so they got into the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came up, a storm down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And so the disciples went and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he gets up, he said he got up, and he rebuked the wind, he rebuked the raging waters, the storm subsided, and all was calm. And here's where I think the main point of this story is. He says to his disciples, he asked his disciples, where is your faith? In a sense, it's a rebuke. But I think it's a watershed moment of decision. It's a turning point in what's going to happen from this point on. So in fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? Wait a minute. They've been with him already. They've seen all these things being done. And now they're saying, who is this? That's why I think this is a watershed moment in their life. Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and these things obey him. I think it's safe to say that these disciples were fearful, but Jesus was fearless. These disciples were amazed at what he did, but Jesus was still amazing. And that they cried for safety when Jesus called for calm. And that's the way it is in our life if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I've already said that this is a watershed moment. They had never seen Jesus do anything quite like this. This was a watershed moment when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and there they are at the Red Sea. They can't cross it. On one side are mountains. On the other side is a desert. Behind them is the Egyptian army. He's changed his mind again. Pharaoh is coming after him. And then all of a sudden, Moses parts the water. Well, God did it through Moses. It's a watershed moment in life. They'd never seen anything like that. They'd never known any experience with God providing the manna and the quail for the people to eat while they were in the wilderness all these many years. They'd never experienced the crumbling of the walls of Jericho just because the people of faith did exactly what God said. They'd never had that experience, but there they are out there in their fishing boats, boats that they've been on many times before, and the storm that they've seen, they've probably seen many times in their past. This one was greater than any they'd ever seen, maybe, and now they're about to experience the real truth. The real power of God. These are experienced fishermen and these are proven boats, but they wake him up. Jesus, we're going to drown. What were they doing about it? Strong men, brave men, shaken by fear of the storm. Now this Sea of Galilee is really a large lake. At its widest point, longest point is 21 miles. Its widest point is 7 miles wide. It's deepest. It's 165 feet deep. It's its deepest. We don't know where they were in this, but it's in a cavity. It's literally almost below sea level. And when the winds come down from all directions, it's as if they're coming from all directions, and the waves can rise as much as 20 feet. That can happen today in the same area. And it did. So there's three things I learn in this boat part of the story. One is that Jesus is human. We see the humanity of Christ in the fact that he must have been exhausted in order to, in the midst of that storm, he could sleep in the midst of all that was going on. The disciples were afraid. They were afraid for their life. Fear had overcome them. There was no love at that moment. They were afraid, and they were afraid the boat would fill up, capsize, they would be caught there. They didn't have life preservers. We didn't have beacons you could send out. There was nobody going to come along and rescue them. They knew that if this happened, they were finished. But the third thing is what I think is the watershed moment teaching of this entire little passage. Jesus wanted them to learn about faith in action. Faith in action. It's not enough to know the Lord. It's enough to, we've got to follow him. We've got to get up from where we are and we got to move forward. When's the last time you found yourself in the middle of a lake? When's the last time you found yourself miles from shore with no lifeline? Now we all ride around with our cell phones, and how many of you this week got in your automobile in the morning, you started heading to work or school or somewhere else, and you turned around to go back and get your cell phone? Anybody want to tell the truth? Two or three. Yeah. What did we do 25 years ago? I took off, where did I go? I went somewhere. Last week, didn't have my cell phone, and I was all the way over into Clemson. I said, I need to call Betsy. I looked at the dashboard, and there was no signal on my phone because there was no phone in the car. You know what? There's no phone booths anymore. And I wasn't about to ask a teenager over there in Clemson, can I use your phone? They'd say, that old man's, they'd call the police. It's a different world. When was the last time you were caught that far off guard with you had nowhere to turn? An unexpected storm happens. You were just trying to cross over the lake to get to the other side. It wasn't a big deal. It's just something you wanted to do. And all of a sudden, you were stunned. Two illustrations in America that I'll share with you. The first one are the California fires of 2018. They were called the Woolsey Fire. 85 people died from a campfire that got out of control. 85 people died. They've dubbed it the deadliest wildfire deaths in California history. It destroyed 150,000 acres. It destroyed over 13,000 homes. I mean, burned them to the ground. They had pictures of a house that the fire came raging down and like a wave swept over the house and literally destroyed it in a matter of about 15 minutes. Just completely burned it to the ground as it swept through. I don't know who was crazy enough to stand there and video that, but they did. And the lives of these people were turned upside down in a matter of moments. Second illustration is not fire, but water. Hurricane Florence came through in September. In North Carolina, it dumped 36 inches of rain on the ground. In South Carolina, over 24 inches of rain on the ground. And we had at least 43 deaths associated with Hurricane Florence. Now, I share these two illustrations because I realize that we can know the hurricane's coming and can't do a thing about it. But sometimes the fires rage that we weren't aware of. We have times when our fear rises to a level where we don't know which way to turn. We don't know which way to go. Do you know that there were some people who tried to stay there in California with a hose pipe and try to wet their house down? And some of those people died because they were warned, you've got to leave. Do you know that there's always in a hurricane people who will stay? I know we have false alarms, but there's always somebody who will stay, and then people have to risk their lives later to go rescue them. And by the way, if you're not a part of disaster relief, you can talk to us about that. We're developing here in our association a new ministry through that, and I hope that you'll like to know about that, and we'd like to tell you more about that. But that is trying to help people along the way. In this story, these well-seasoned fishermen find themselves in the middle of a storm that they can't handle. And Jesus seems to be asleep. But Jesus rebukes two things. Number one, he rebukes nature itself. In Mark's gospel, he says, "Peace, be still." And there was calmness that overcame them instantly. And that's what probably stunned these disciples the most. But then he turns to his disciples in that great big old fishing boat and he rebukes his followers and he says, "Where is your faith? Where is it?" In essence, I think what he's saying, this is that watershed moment in this story and in their life and in their ministry because things are going to start changing now. Guys, it's time to get on board. It's time to do the Dabo thing and go all in. It's time to get with the program or get out of the way. Get off the boat. Get off the train. Turn around and make a difference in your life. Where is your faith? Faith is action. That's the point. He may have been saying something like this. He says, "Guys, because if you can't handle this storm, you don't know what's coming." Almost all of the disciples were martyred. Some of them horribly killed. After Jesus arose from the grave. He presented himself to them. He ascended to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit. There was no doubt in their mind that Jesus is Lord. They began to proclaim that message, and some of them died horrible deaths. Jesus was saying, listen, if you can't handle this storm, you can't handle me. You can't handle what the world's going to bring at you. I can't remember which preacher said it like this, but he says, I wish I could tell you there'd never be any storms. I wish I could tell you that. But you and I know better. I wish I could tell you that life's waters will always be calm, smooth sailing, and when you dropped your hook in the water, you'd pull up two fish at a time. I wish I could tell you that, but it's not. It's not true. I wish I could tell you that life will always be rosy and hunky-dory and calm and sweet. I wish I could tell you all those things, but you and I know better. I heard the discussion this week as I was preparing for this. Why did God make the mosquito? Well, the best answer I've ever heard was, well, he made the mosquito for a purpose, but not the purpose it became. What happened in the garden when man sinned is everything changed. And that's when the snake became bad. That's when lions began to eat people. That's when mosquitoes began to bite. Okay. In heaven, they're not going to bite anymore. That was a tangent. In this message and in this little story, the disciples learn three valuable lessons that day, and here they are. You can be as obedient to the Lord as you possibly can, and you still will find yourselves in the middle of a storm one day. It's just the truth. Secondly, you can be tested to your limits when you are obedient to the Lord, and the Lord may seem like he's asleep. You may feel like you can't get your prayers above the rafters, but he's always there. He was there in the boat. He had to rebuke them in a sense. And thirdly, you can be fearful of the worst when you are obedient and being tested, but God still calms the storms. He always does. So I want to end this with a couple of verses of scripture, because this is a simple message. We're all in this boat. It may seem like Jesus is asleep because he's tarried. He's not come back in our life. He will come back one day. And when that day happens, it's going to be a glorious day. But in Isaiah it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah went on to say elsewhere, when you pass through the waters, I will be there. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Well, Jesus said it this way, Matthew 28:20. Surely, I am with you always, until the end of the age. So let me ask you another question. The next time Jesus turned to the disciples and said, let's get in a boat, what do you think they thought? I don't know. But I believe they remembered that time. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith building on every experience that you're having with Jesus Christ today? Are you stronger today than you were yesterday, but not quite as strong as you're going to be tomorrow by faith walking through the Word of God with Jesus? See, Jesus didn't ask them where their faith was before the storm. Listen, he asked them, now that I've calmed the storm, where's your faith now? Do we give him the credit, the glory, and the honor for all these things? Final question. Have you trusted in Jesus today? Have you walked through the storms? with him? Have you watched him walk on water? Have you seen him heal the sick and raise the dead? Have you watched him and listened to him and heard him in the midst of the storms when the waves keep coming, when the peace seems to be somewhere else and you're lost? Have you trusted him? Now, where is your faith? Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm because he had the rest and the peace that only God gives. He said, "Take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of me." He said, "Let your faith grow, faith in action." And I am meek, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find the rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I invite you to trust him today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us. Help us every day. Help us every single moment. Help us to recognize that you have never forsaken us. You have never left us alone. You're right there in the boat in the midst of the storm, and you care. You care for us. Give us the desire. Give us the heart. Give us the ability. Give us the mind to see you in all things, to hear your voice, even that still small voice. Talk to you, to be able to praise you and to give you thanks for all that you do. And Lord, as we attempt to live by faith, we pray that we can draw nearer to you than we've ever been before. May our faith multiply exponentially, just as the disciples did. Each event strengthened their faith. Help our events to strengthen ours. And may we have a fresh, new understanding of who you are every single day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you bless our homes and family as our hymn of commitment? But the invitation is to trust God, to trust Christ, to come unto him, to know him better, and to serve him every day of our lives. When Jesus asked that question, now guys, where's your faith? He wasn't doubting their faith. He was helping them grow in faith to become like he wanted them to be. We haven't arrived yet, but we're walking by faith. Let's stand. Let's sing. Happy Mother's Day, happy Women of Faith Day. We choose to celebrate all women and girls on this particular Sunday and to give God the praise and the thanks and the honor. And just remember the little children. Remember the little children. We are blessed. Amen. And we have seen them grow, and they will continue to grow, boys and girls. And we're just blessed that God has given us the kind of ministry that we have. Not every church has that, but we're grateful. May your day be blessed. He is risen. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss, thank you for your love and mercy. And your praise, we praise you always. In Christ's name, amen.